One of the most crucial documents for the future of Prague is the so-called Development Plan. Since 1999, the plan has been the key public document, laying out the broad rules for what can be built where in the city and its suburbs. Since it was first drawn up in the early days after the fall of communism, Prague has changed immensely, and sweeping amendments to the development plan are currently under discussion. The form the final document takes could define the character of one of Europe's most historic cities for several generations to come. To get an idea of the issues at stake, I only need to look out at the window of my own flat in the central Prague district of Holešovice, and I'm just opening the window now. And as I look out, as you can probably hear, directly below me is one of Prague's busiest main roads. Every day some 45,000 cars crawl past, passing right through the centre of one of the most densely populated parts of the city. And beyond the road, in front of me here, is the huge area of the half-derelict Bubny railway station, potentially one of Europe's most attractive inner-city development sites, but currently a casebook example of inner-city neglect and decay.
Moje jméno je Kateřina Sentešiová a jsem vedoucí odboru urbanistické koncepce.
Kateřina Sentešiová is the head of the Department for Urban Planning at Prague's City Hall's Development Section, the team that has drafted the new development plan. She argues that it will help to speed up the regeneration of the city.
My velice upřednostňujeme, aby se město nerozrůstalo na zelené louce.
In our view, it's an important priority for the city not to just keep spreading outwards into the countryside. We want development to take place on so-called brownfield sites within the city as it's now. Under current rules, if a site has previously been used for manufacturing and someone wants to build a multifunctional building on the site, it's extremely complicated because each such case requires an amendment to the existing development plan. Under the new plan, you won't have to go through all that if it's clear that the change is for the better and will reduce the ecological burden on the site.
Protože zátěž bude nižší.
There is a big difference between plans and some visions and the reality, and that's the problem of the urban plan, the new urban plan.
Martin Skalski works for the Czech environmental NGO Arnica, which is encouraging greater public participation in decisions involving the world around us. He argues that the new development plan is not as sympathetic to the environment as may seem at first sight.
It says very nice things in its first part, but if you go to the maps, you see something really opposite to the visions. So they, for example, say we need to develop the brownfields and to change these devastated areas in the city center to something new. But on the other hand, they propose the new districts of Prague on the greenery. So that's the point.
If there's one subject guaranteed to cause controversy in any historic city, it's road building. I'm standing by the building site of the Blanka Road Tunnel, a vast construction scheme, which controversially includes several multi-level road junctions, just a few hundred metres from Prague Castle, which I can actually see peeping out from behind the construction site here between the trees. This is part of the city's inner ring road, which along with an outer road remains a central pillar of the new development plan.
One of the major things we first have to address is transportation, because obviously the road system in Prague and transportation system in Prague is overloaded. So whenever you're increasing the volume of people, you're increasing the volume of traffic and the volume of buildings.
The American architect Vincent Morani has been working in Prague for the last 8 years. His firm, Ziegler and Morani, is working on several master plans for major development sites in the city centre. He argues that the ring road system is a much needed part of the development plan.
Yeah, I mean, it's an unfortunate thing, but Prague also has a very complicated topography where we have many hills and river, and the valley which is created by the Vltava makes it very difficult on the north side of the river for any sort of through traffic to occur. So that junction you're talking about is associated with a tunnel. So 90% of at least this highway connection is underground and is not visible. Unfortunately, yeah, we're going to have to they will come out of the ground at some point, and there's going to be some junctions. And I know the city has taken efforts to make parks and greenery around the areas where these junctions are going to come about. Yeah.
But others argue that these huge road schemes are a survival from the communist era, and they are being kept going through the power and political influence of the road-building lobby. Martin Skalski argues that the core of the problem is that the public don't feel able to get involved in the decision-making process.
The problem is that we are not talking about one specific area, but about whole Prague, which consists of 57 independent municipalities. So it's a very big area, and it's very difficult to even design an urban plan for such a big city. So it's also, again, problem of the time, because if the discussion is open for 1 year, maybe for separate discussions on some sensitive areas or some specific issues, so then it's possible maybe to develop something and people could agree with that. But if it's open only for 30 days, such a big area, and there is maybe hundreds of details that really will change the environment and change the conditions for life of the people, that's very difficult.
For a few weeks in the autumn of last year, the draft development plan was open for public comment. By the December deadline, a total of around 10,000 comments or objections were sent to the city's development section. The department's Katerina Senteshiova denies claims that the public information campaign was inadequate.
We've tried to make it as easy as possible for people to get to know the development plan and how they can send their comments. Back in the middle of last year, we launched an information campaign, including booklets made available in public transport or at various distribution points. We also set up two offices with a full plan on display and with specialists available all the time to explain things to citizens. And we help them fill out the forms for their comments and objections.
As someone who lives right on the edge of one of Prague's key development areas, I've been following this process closely. I can confirm that Katerina Senteshiova's department at the City Hall has been very helpful. But I can't help agreeing with Martin Skalski from the NGO Arnica that it is hard to get a real sense of being able to influence the decision-making process. The reasons, I think, are threefold. First of all, with the legacy of communism, most people are not used to being able to have a say in the way the environment around them is shaped. Secondly, especially when it comes to road building, the schemes now being built have their roots in the 1970s and 80s, when it was considered quite acceptable for whole areas of cities to be swept away. And thirdly, while the city planners seem genuinely interested in dialogue, I've been struck again and again by the reluctance of elected local politicians to engage in discussion. Not a single city councillor deemed it necessary to attend the big public meeting held last November to discuss the development plan. It'll be interesting to see at this stage how the City Hall will deal with the large pile of comments and objections now on their in-tray. The planning department will give its recommendations, but the final word will be with the city councillors. For the time being, as the traffic continues to rumble past my flat, I'll be keeping my front windows firmly closed.
That edition of Talking Point was prepared and presented by David Vaughan. And I'm afraid that's all we have.